Good morning, church. The morning scripture would be coming from 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. The name of the lesson today is Truth and Love. Truth and Love. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 13. And it read, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." God bless the doers of his word.
Haggai, chapter 2, verse number 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." May we see. Well, say good morning, congregation. It's good for us to be here. What a wonderful day it is that God has made and has prepared for all of us to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. The lesson this morning is entitled Love and Truth. Truth and love are just inseparable. Truth and love are inseparable no matter how you look at it. They can never, ever be taken apart. In John chapter 14 and verse number 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, I'm the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. For if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." You know what's incredible to me? You know, you read and you read and you read, and if you love reading, you never stop reading. Ran across this phrase, and this is what it said: either the truth will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the truth. And so I added to it, I added these words: either love will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from. Amen? You know, either the truth and love that are inseparable are going to keep you from sinning, or sin is going to keep you from the truth and the love as well. It's going to keep you from it. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25, the Bible says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we're all members of one another." You know, if you were in Bible class this morning, you heard the brother talk about controversies and things that often separate us. Make no mistake, there's no controversy when it comes to truth and love and how they are not ever separated. Therefore, because of the inseparable ability of truth and love, we got to stop lying to one another and speak the truth with our neighbors, for we are members of one another. You know, lying, of course, is the telling of an intentional falsehood. And to lie is to do the opposite of speaking the truth. For the one who lies says that he knows the things that are untrue in an effort to get others to believe the falsehoods that he's making are really the truth. And most of the time, we know that people are lying, and we just fail to tell them because we're lying as well. You know, you find a whole lot of children, the first thing they'll tell you before they tell you the truth, boy, they'll start lying to you. What do you think they get that from? Just start lying. What you lying for? They don't make it easy. But what I want you to know today, more than anything else, is that truth and love are inseparable. And having and knowing the truth on any issue is just not sufficient. It's not enough. We must speak the truth out of a disposition of love into the ears of those that are going to hear us, into the ears of the recipient. We've got to speak the truth all of the time. And if we do, it's going to affect a change that's going to be a credit to the glory of God. We're not speaking our truth, because all of us have our own truth, but we're speaking the truth that comes from God, and it's that truth that's going to affect the change in the very lives and the souls of those who are going to hear you. And God's going to get the glory. And because of that, every elder, because of that, every preacher, every teacher, because of that, every member must truly understand and be warned by this admonition that comes from God. Because the scriptures are crystal clear in its teaching, we must not lie one to another. Tell me the truth. I need it. More than anything else, the biggest truth for me is letting you know that, you know what? I need you. I need you. You might not think that I do, and you need me too, and you might not think that you need me. We are one together in Christ. I need you. Amen. And what I don't need is for you to act like a fool. Got another lesson? Ephesians chapter 4. Open your Bibles for me, please. Let's listen to God here. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to understand that speaking the truth and knowing the truth on any issue is just not enough. Because some people use the truth in ways that's not intended by God. Ephesians 4, 14 through 17, the Bible says this. Listen to what God says. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. They're waiting to deceive you, waiting for it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. We've got to grow up, is what he's saying to the church at Ephesus. A lot of people use that phrase, oh, we got to speak the truth in love. But what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Did you look at the context of it? Verse number 16, he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. 4:15, God-inspired statement from Paul to the Christians at Ephesus. We say it all the time, but what does it mean? But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things and to him who is the head, even Christ. You see, this text is an interesting text to me because what we have to realize when we're saying it, we have to understand the whole context of what's being said. It's interesting to me and ironic because this text is found in the middle of a whole lot of warnings of being tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning of craftiness. It's caught up in the middle of all this lying. And yet, we know that it's going on. We can't be caught up in it. We are to speak the truth to one another in context. There's a lot of stuff going on in the church of Ephesus. And Paul says, listen, let's cut it out and speak the truth. Let's do it. But a lot of people use that scripture, we're going to speak the truth one to another, and they take the Bible and beat people over the head who are not Christians. Amen. I spoke to them in love. No, you didn't. didn't do that. And they got too many people who put themselves in a position to be insulted or hurt by other Christians because they tell them something that's right. Listen, it's so easy under those circumstances to lash back at somebody and to use their corrupt and ungodly tactics in the same way they're using it against you. But this is the way that children act, and he says in verse 14, we should no longer be children. It's time to grow up and get rid of all this trivial stuff that goes on in our lives that distract us, that take our focus off of God. He says, let's grow up. We've got to allow Christ to rule our lives, listen to me, as brethren. As brethren. He's the head from whom the whole body is joined together and knit together by what every joint supplies. And every part that's working does its share. And when they do their share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of the church in love. It does it to edify, not to take away the focus. That's what Paul told to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. This is what he said. The Lord's servant is instructed not to quarrel, but be gentle to all. Be able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. You see, the truth brings you to your senses. Because if you're not, then you're out of your mind. We're acting like children. Because we don't want the truth. Because we don't want to handle the truth. We want to live in our own fantasy world. We want our own truth and not the truth that comes from God. Because the truth that comes from God makes you look at yourself. Not only does it make you look at yourself, it makes you see yourself for who you are because you're standing up next to God's word. And whether you like it or not, that's who you are. That's who you are. Listen, I want you to understand that it's not easy. Teaching the truth to people caught in sin is not easy. Paul said in Galatians 4:16, am I then become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You gonna make me your enemy now because we talking about the truth? I had a friend of mine one time who was dating this girl, and this girl was dating every other boy on the football team. Everybody knew it and he didn't. And nobody wouldn't tell him. And I told him, I said, listen, bruh. I said, I see it. She with everybody but you. He got mad with me. Wouldn't talk to me for about 2 months. And when football season was over, and he finally saw it, he came back to me and he apologized and thanked me for telling him the truth. He wanted to fight. He thought I wanted it, but I took the high road. If the low road was too full. Amen? Listen, we're not here to fight with anybody. The Lord's servant is not to quarrel, but be gentle to all, patient, teaching those who are in opposition so they can come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. It's not easy. And the burden in any lighter to teach people in any other circumstances either. In other words, let me just give you some stuff that you might think is trivial, but you gotta tell them. Speaking the truth to people about how to behave in worship is not easy. Amen. Listen, I can just see you calling on God and God sitting down up in heaven, you talking to him and he writing notes, passing it to somebody else. Hey, you take this note while he talking. I know he talking to him, but I can see him putting gum in his mouth and just chewing gum. I ain't even paying no attention to you. Why? I can see that. Oh, I can see Jesus texting on the telephone while God trying. It's not easy to speak the truth to people about how to behave and worship. We come here to worship God in spirit and truth. Where is your focus? Truth and love are inseparable. Inseparable. If you love God and the truth, when he is speaking to you, you are going to pay attention. It's
speaking the truth to people about distractions they cause also is not easy. Not easy. Speaking the truth to people about their need for morality is not easy. Where are the moral people of today? Where are they? Everybody's got their own morality. You do your thing, I'm going to do mine. You're okay, I'm okay. You can call me anything you want to call me, but you can't call me gay even though I'm gay. You can't call it to me. What in the Sam Hill is that? You're going to force your morality on me, which is really immorality? Let's speak the truth in love. You want to act gay, that's what you are. I'm going to call you that. We're not here to fight with nobody. Amen. You want to be a woman, I'm going to call you a woman because that's what you are. You want to be a man, I'm going to call you a man because that's what God made. And look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. He made them male and female. The truth in love. It's not easy to speak the truth to people about real life issues because people don't want to deal with their real life issues. They want to talk about you and yours. So we got to separate that and we got to speak the truth to people about real life issues because every one of us are going through issues right now. And I need you because I'm going through mine and you need me because you're going through yours. We need God to rescue us from our own selves and the issues that cause all these controversies in our lives because they're not the truth. Lord, I wish you would rescue me right now from people who feel like they don't want to speak to me because they're feeling some type of way. Rescue me right now. No one likes to be informed that the life that he or she is living is wrong. Nobody don't want to know that. You can't tell me I'm wrong, Brother Mark. I'm not going to let you do that. And I might be wrong. There's two left shoes walking around here. But you better not tell me. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to know that you're wrong? Do you want to sit and just soak in all of that sin? What if God comes back right now and your mouth poked out from here to the door because you don't know why you're speaking to me? Where you think you're going? You're not going back home, that's for sure. No one wants to be informed that they're living their life wrong. And more frequently than not, they get angry with the one that's telling them about it, the one that's doing the teaching. And his friends get angry with you because you tell them about it. And weak Christians get angry with you because you tell them about it. Because they don't understand why you're saying those things. And all they can do is get angry because they have no truth in them. None. You know, people were offended by Jesus because he was telling the truth, weren't they? Listen, in Matthew 15, 10 through 14, listen to this. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth of a man defiles him, but that which comes out of the mouth of man, that defiles him. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he said, every tree, every tree which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They're the blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the... I'm glad I grew up in a place where I knew how to jump ditches. Oh, we jump some ditches. You hear me? But every now and then, I find myself blinded by Satan, and I done fell in some ditches too, and I'm trying to help you because I done been in a ditch to get yourself out of the ditch right now. Speak the truth one to another in love. Get out of the ditch. Let's stop all this trivial stuff and let's grow up and understand that truth and love that comes from God are inseparable and it's all to the glory of God. It's not my truth or your truth. It's not how you think you love me or how I love you. Truth and love from God are inseparable. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You're not going to bring all that baggage into heaven. It's not coming. You're not going to bring your feelings into heaven. It's not coming. You might feel some type of way about me, but I'm letting you know right now I'm on my way to heaven. And if you continue to feel like that, you're not coming. Now, one of us not going, amen. But I'm telling you this morning, I'm on my way. And I like to think that you're on your way too, because that's the reason we are here, so that we can get to heaven. Amen? You're not going on the road to gossip. You're not going on the road to hearsay. You're not going on the road to backbiting. You're not going except the straight and narrow road which God has purposed for each and every one of us, and that is through the truth and love that comes from God. So if you're sitting next to somebody and you're popping gum and they say, look, you're distracting me from worship. I got to, can you please stop popping that gum? You ain't going to tell me nothing about that. I'm going to eat my candy and my gum all I want in service. Well, go on then. What's wrong with telling you that? Why are you so offended by that? You're distracting someone from listening to God. That's another issue, though. That's Bible study, isn't it? Jesus said, leave them alone. They're just the blind leaders of the blind. As long as we're teaching the truth, it's about our disposition. As long as we're teaching the truth and manifesting the disposition of love and the care for a soul that's lost in sin, we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're doing it. But if others want to come and detract from that, if they don't want to change, Jesus said, leave them alone. Let it go. Pay no attention to them. Let them fall in the ditch. Isn't that something? The Lord's servant is not looking for a quarrel. If you're a Lord's servant, you're not looking to fuss and fight with nobody. But with patience and humility, we're seeking to bring about correction in the life of the one who is sinning. The Lord's servant, if you're the Lord's servant, you're not to become involved in a war of words, nor a battle over whether you're right or not. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about seeking and saving those that are lost. That's what we're trying to do. Those that are distracted, those that don't have any focus, let's go get them. Let's tell them that they're doing wrong. You know what's so hard about that, though? They know they're doing wrong already. Amen? But they don't want you to tell them that. You better try to tell me. Amen? And not your version of what's wrong either. Don't bring that to me, because we're going to get that straight. Amen? On the flip side of the issue, I want you to understand that Christians sometimes can give some terrible advice. Yeah, they can. Because the advice that they're giving is not God-seeking advice. And it doesn't have anything to do with nothing spiritual. Isn't that something? They're just talking. Look, having and knowing the truth on any issue is just not sufficient. We've got to speak the truth out of a disposition of love. That's what it's got to come from. Out of a heart that's filled with love and compassion for that person that you're speaking to. Because that's what God does for us. God's kindness overflows in our lives every waking morning, and we don't even realize it. Because we don't breathe on our own. We don't make our heart beat on our own. A lot of people assume that because somebody's the same age as them or the same gender or they got the same interests that they're a good person to listen to and adopt as a friend. You can listen to them. Oh, they're a little older than me, but you got some old fools out there too, don't they? Some people assume that just because they're the same age or the same gender or got the same interests that they're going to tell you the truth because you need to hear it. But they don't always do that. And our motives are not always right when we try to do that, but they need to be. Here's what the proverbial writer said, Proverbs 18:19. This is what he said. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a fortress. Let this sink in. I'm going to read it again for you. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a fortress. We've got to realize how hard it is to win back an offended friend or brother, especially for foolishness. When we violate that trust through gossip, when we violate that trust through inconsiderate acts, hurtful words, we lose a friend and we may never get him back. Too many times we take our friendships for granted. We take them for granted. And it's foolish to do that. And when we violate the friendship, we may never get that friendship restored. It might never, ever happen. You ever heard the phrase, let's bury the hatchet? Why we got to bury the hatchet? Because the hatchet has been exposed for so long, nobody wants to come to the table to talk about it, and it's been something that was trivial and foolish the whole while. But you know, Uncle Ted said he was going to give me that car. When Uncle Ted didn't give me the car, he gave you the car, and I don't know why he gave it to you, because and years pass by, and years pass by, and it's forgotten, and all of a sudden you're wondering why they don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Because Uncle Ted gave you the car and didn't give it to me. Wow. Man, isn't that something? Hope nobody has an Uncle Ted. Look, vindication is something to be thought about. Because vindication of ourself or that our side thing is not the issue. It's not about whose side we on or who's on our side. Listen, it's about saving souls. And we must all carefully and honestly search our hearts to make sure that our motives are right and pure when we speak in the truth and love to someone. Because if it's unselfish and true, it's going to be to God's glory and not to satisfy you. When you walk around, he said, well, I told them. I got them straight. They got their truth. But did they get God's truth? Where was your heart and your mind at when you was telling them that? Where was it at? It's just so easy sometimes to talk to people. Listen, who will allow you to talk to them? Because some folks don't even let you talk to them. It's so far gone, they don't want to hear it. Nothing that another Christian brother or sister has to say, they don't want to hear it because they're offended by it. And you don't have the right to be offended when you're in sin because you're already offending God. If our motives are right and pure, it's to God's glory. Because without this, there is no love at all. And we condemn ourselves no matter how right we are. We've got to speak the truth out of a disposition of love. Because again, some people use the idea that they're right or to just railroad somebody else. And listen to me, and I got to get a little grammar sitting there. That ain't right. That ain't right. Listen, the essence of this teaching about truth and love being inseparable is expressed in this saying. Listen to this. Truth without love is brutality, but love without truth is hypocrisy. Truth and love go together, church. They are inseparable, and one without the other is a perversion of God's will, and we often guilty of that. We often cloak our failure to speak the truth to those who need it by saying we love them. What does that mean when you tell somebody you love them? We cloak that, I love him, that's why I told him. Okay. You know, we just don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. So I'm not going to turn around and tell you stop popping that gum, or you go and pop it. I'm not going to turn around and tell you stop passing notes or texting. I'm not going to do that. That's too trivial, right? But it takes your focus away from God. It takes someone else's focus away from God. If God was to come right now, the Bible says, will he find any that is faithful? Will he find any that's praying? That's what I'll be doing, what I'll be praying instead of popping gun. Praying instead of texting, praying instead of passing notes, praying and being attentive to God and his word instead of dealing with our own selfish end. That's what we ought to be doing. It's incredible the way that God shows us who we are, isn't it? And we all are guilty, me too. I got a couple of peppermints in my pocket. Brother Keel ain't here today, but I got a few. I mean, if we love them, I mean, truly love them, we would lovingly speak the truth that would correct the sin in people's lives. I got to tell you, no, it's not easy. It's not easy. And yes, people are going to misunderstand it. And they're going to accuse us of meddling, and they're going to accuse us of being self-righteous and all the other things that people often say. But the Lord knows our hearts. And the Lord knows both sides of the issue. So it would be quite harmful to the soul if he just leave you alone, stranded in that ditch. That's where some of us are. You might not have no water in the ditch. A dry ditch and a wet ditch is still a ditch. Amen? Somebody ought to come along and tell you in it instead of keep jumping over you to get to the other side. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 6 says this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Don't turn on your true friends. Don't turn on them. Don't turn on them. Bro, look, she with the whole football team. Don't turn on your true friends or those that are your Christian brothers and sisters when they're trying to help you. Too often we burn bridges and destroy friendships because a faithful friend has enough courage to tell you something that you need to hear. It's not easy doing that, church. But a faithful brother and sister's got enough courage to tell you that, you ought to at least listen. You ought to hear it. Do what you want with it after that, but you ought to at least hear it. But we don't want to be told that we're wrong. So you know what we do? We run into the arms of the enemy. We run and stir up all kind of stuff in the church rather than listen to the wounds of a friend. We need to not be so defensive and truly listen to the help of our godly friends because they're offering us things to the glory of God. He says, many are the kisses of the enemy, but those kisses are full of deceit. Full of deceit. Who remembers the scripture that says Judas kissed the Christ? Oh, he said, the one that I'm going to kiss is the one that you need to take. And he pulls up right up next to him, looks Jesus in the eyes, and just puts it right on him. They got people right in the congregation who are putting it on you too. Kisses full of deceit, full of lies. No truth, no love. Just, now you take that. Isn't that something? No love in it at all. Not looking out for your best interests. It's just a kiss of deceit. And after they kiss you, they say, well, you know why? You know, I love you. I wonder how Judas felt after he had kissed Jesus. I know how he felt afterwards. But immediately after he had kissed Jesus, oh, I got that change coming my way now. Pocket full of change. Boy, we'll say and do anything for a pocket full of change, won't we? But that's not the change that God is looking for from us or to give us. We've got to be able to change each other's perspective when it comes to God's truth and his love and walk in the ways of God. Not my ways are your ways, not my truth are your truth, not my definition of love. God is love, 1 John. God is love. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10 and verses 12 through 14. I'm going to read this to you. We're going to be finished here in a minute. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Do not lie one to another. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, because truth and love are mixed in with that. Clothe yourselves with kindness, because truth and love are mixed with that. Clothe yourselves with humility and gentleness and patience, because truth and love are connected with that. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on yourself some love. because it binds all them together in perfect unity. Truth and love, church, inseparable. Let me say this to you again. Having and knowing the truth on any issue is not sufficient. It's not enough. We've got to speak the truth out of a disposition of love into the ears, into the very soul of the one being spoken to. Because love and truth are inseparable. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there's a friend who sticks. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Look, now, look, let me tell you where that's at now, because I know we always saying that, but that Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin. One who has friends that lie to him all the time are going to come to ruin. Stop lying to your friend. Stop letting your friend lie to you. You know he lying to you. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Oh, just, how we say? Just like that, huh? Just, man. Truth and love are just like that. Inseparable. Let me give you the invitation. The brother had a Bible class on this morning, 1 John 4. Listen to God. This is the invitation. Taught in verse number 6. We're going to read through verse 16. See what you can get from this. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Isn't that incredible? In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He sent the truth into the world. Love sent truth into the world that we might live through him. Inseparable. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We ought to stop lying to one another. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in the love dwells in God, and God dwells in Here's one more note I need to pass to you. One more bit of gum I need to chew. This is all about the salvation that comes from God. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4 says so. It's by grace through faith you have been saved, not of yourselves, but as the gift of God. You have nothing to do with this gift of God, this grace of God. But you can accept it. You can accept the truth and the love that comes from God, and you can be found in Christ as a Christian, filled with love and truth that only comes from God. Listen, there's a lot of people that's dying out there in this world, and what's killing them? A lot of lies and innuendo. What's killing them is a lot of hate, and there's no love. But God calls us away from all of that. He calls us from the world that seeks to destroy us. He calls us from the sin that seeks to separate us from him. And he asks us just to hear his word. Just hear the truth. Hear it. In John 8:24, he says you need to believe that Jesus is the truth. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you don't, you're going to die in your sins. He asks us to repent of our sins. If we don't repent of our sins with a contrite heart before God, he says again, we're going to die. We got to confess Christ. He that confesses that Jesus is the Son, he's also a son of God. Let's confess Christ. Let's confess the fact that we are no more than liars. Stop lying to each other. Let's live the truth. Let's be the truth. Let's be about God.
We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. See, a lot of people run from baptism, and that's the biggest lie right there. Some people say they're saved before baptism, but that's not what the Bible says. God's truth is that believe and be baptized, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're saved after baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. The only way you can get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ. And he washes away all your sins, all that little small stuff we was talking about, all that trivial stuff. And he gives you a focus, and your eyes are directed towards the Christ. And we can see our eternal home and our future. Let's be about God. Let's be about truth and love, because they're inseparable. Let's live our lives according to the will of God and his word. If we can help to do that in all truth and love, in all sincerity, won't you stand as we sing the invitation song?
Jesus is tenderly calling.